Hi, everyone, and welcome to another really special Talking Insomnia episode. We have Betul here. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me, Daniel.
Anytime. I should actually say welcome back, because for those of you who don't know Betul, she was a guest I take a look at this. It was actually May 19th, 2021, like 14 months ago. What do you think of that? Is that surprising to you?
It's quite surprising. I feel like a part of me feels like it was yesterday. It was very kind of, just like yesterday. And a part of me feels like it was further away. But that's quite interesting. So it's been over a year since we spoke. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I was actually like, my reaction was like, oh, it was only a year ago. I felt like so much has happened since then that I thought it must have been like 2 years ago. But yeah, it was more than
crazy. Yeah, well, I'm glad to be back. It's really nice to be back with another story to share, not the same one, luckily. Yeah,
I think that's, for those of you who are just tuning in here, like, I think it really what I want to talk about is sort of this, I'm planning to make more of these episodes where we do sort of like life after insomnia, kind of what happened next after that story concluded. But before that, I just want to share an announcement, which is that you're joining to become a sleep coach, which is amazing.
Yay! Finally. Yeah.
When did that idea come across or come up?
You know what? It's because I've told you a little bit about my studies, and that's on sleep. So it's always been like an interest of mine. But I kind of started off more because I had my own sleep issues. I wanted to go into that kind of PhD. It was really appealing to me. And then obviously when I came across you and your channel, it just resonated with me. Everything you said just aligned with what I believe in, my values. And I felt like once I have the time and the commitment, I will absolutely join the team. And I'm so glad that I've reached that point now. It was ever since I came across your videos, really, that I knew that this was something I was going to do at some point.
So nice. And actually, I just want to add one more thing before we, talk more about it, what happened after your interview. It was just a funny moment, because the first time we talked about, you maybe joining it to become a sleep coach, we were having kind of a conversation about that. And you mentioned in passing that you'd moved from, you were like, and then I grew up in Sweden and I moved to London. And then my mom was like, what, did she say she grew up in Sweden? And, and then after after a little bit, I have to ask you, like, so did you grow up in Sweden? And you were like, yes. And I was like, me too. And then we spoke in Swedish, right?
So crazy. The world is so small. We have very similar stories, which is really funny.
It's such a funny thing. All right. So with that said, going back a year and a half ago, I don't know, like 14 months ago or so, you were a guest. Yeah. At that point, I believe the struggle with sleep was really fading. And but it happened pretty close to the time where I interviewed you. And so maybe if you can do this, maybe I sort of summarize the struggle with sleep pretty briefly. And then we'll talk about kind of like what happened next. So where is your hospital?
So, just to kind of briefly remind everyone, my sleep problem started during my master's, when I was pursuing my master's degree. And I think, like I said in the previous episodes, that it was mostly due to, the changes, changing apartment, changing city. And so that was a lot for me to take in. And I didn't really know that it was due to that. It was mainly just, I can't sleep. I didn't consider anything else in my environment. And that, kind of became a very self-perpetuating cycle. Like, I can't sleep, trying to find remedies to, natural remedies and sleep tablets and all of that. So that was kind of a vicious cycle for over 2 years that I struggled. It wasn't mainly that I can't sleep. It was, for me, it was more that I did fall asleep quite easily and quickly, but it was always non-restorative sleep. So I could, wake up after 7 hours of having my eyes closed, and I felt like I had just slept for like 1 second. So that was my main issue. And then after that, so I came across your channel. I was very, very relieved. Finally, someone understands me and really speaks to my heart. And then, yeah, so when we first, I think the second time we met, that's when it started to kind of become easier, because I started tackling and challenging my, you know, destructive thoughts and like very, you know, just cognitive distortions about sleep. That was kind of the main thing, psychoeducation and knowing I'm not alone. That itself really, really helped me. And then obviously when I spoke to you, I still had a couple of issues. I still didn't really fully, well, I don't know if you can fully, but I still felt very insecure in my ability to sleep. I did kind of have more nights of good sleep, but I was still very much afraid of, you know, when will this period end, or when is bad sleep going to catch up with me again? Like, this is too good to be true. So I still had those very, very destructive thoughts, but they were just a bit more silent than before. Yeah, so that was that. And then it's a funny, because I can't really remember how it transformed into just not caring at all. I think it was, yeah. If you ask me questions, I might be able to answer.
No, I was going to say that. So, you know, you summarized very nicely kind of like how the struggle started and what helped. Yeah. And now we're landing at sort of like May 2021, like when I spoke to you, right? And so if I understand it, at that point, a lot of those ideas, thoughts had gone away. Sleep was happening easier and you were feeling more refreshed, but there was still a little bit of sort of insecurities and worries around that. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. A lot of, you know, fear. And when will this period end? If I do something different in my lifestyle, will that throw my sleep off? So there was still a lot of like planning, more, I guess, subconscious planning, just telling myself, oh, obviously I'm not thinking of sleep, but I think my actions showed otherwise. But it had really reduced since, you know, the first time we spoke, or like even before that. But yeah, I was generally sleeping better. Even on days I didn't sleep well, it was kind of just waking up, going on with my day. So yeah, that's pretty much how it was in May. Yeah.
And then at that point, you know, did you sort of continue to like listen to my videos or search education or things elsewhere, or was it sort of like you left that and kind of just lived your life?
So at that point, I was still watching your videos every once in a while. I'm not as religiously as I used to. I think the less my issues were, naturally, the less I started watching or you know, like seeking for information or knowledge or reassurance, because I kind of found that reassurance within. And so it kind of gradually, I would say, reduced. But at that point, yeah, I was still watching every once in a while. But for instance, today, I don't really watch anything or search for any kind of reassurance because I don't need it. So, yeah.
And that becomes, so in that, okay, so next question I have would be that, like, let's say today, you would you say that there's no struggle whatsoever anymore, or is there any lingering like worries? Or
I think everyone to some degree has bad nights, right? Like my husband the other day was like, oh, I didn't really sleep well, but that's fine. And it's like, it's for me, it's natural now. It's very natural for me to fall asleep, to I can finally nap, you know. And I for a long time I wasn't able to nap, and now if I'm tired, I'll go and sleep for 2-3 hours, and most of the time that doesn't really disrupt my like sleep pattern. But yeah, no, I don't obsess over sleep anymore. I don't make that like the focal point of my life. I know it will come naturally. I'm excited to go to bed, or not even excited, I just take it as it comes. It's nighttime, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'll go to bed. So it's definitely like, it's not a struggle anymore, because it does not preoccupy my mind, or I barely think of it throughout the day. So I think that's like an achievement in itself. Yeah.
It's wonderful to hear, of course. And another question, natural follow-up question here becomes that sense of like never feeling refreshed and not feeling like you slept at all. What happened to that?
So that's, I think that must have been because I've been in the fight or flight mode for, you know, even going to bed. I know you have amazing terms for these different sensations. And I will learn as I'm training, of course. But for now, I'll just say fight or flight. I think there was a lot of like hyper activity going on. And although my body fell asleep, my brain was still constantly working. I think that was the main thing for me. But since I've kind of, I think anxiety, well, obviously anxiety and sleep, they go hand in hand. So since I challenged my sleep issues, my anxiety has naturally reduced as well. So I'm not as, you know, like anxious going to bed. And I think that itself leaves me much more rested while I'm sleeping. So I don't wake up feeling like I'm unrefreshed anymore. There are obviously there's mornings where, like, for obvious reasons, I don't feel refreshed, you know, either something happened the night before. But yeah, that has really, really changed. I would say that, you know, my nights are mostly refreshing and the minority are like unrefreshing, and that's amazing. Yeah,
it's really, really wonderful. Yeah. And by the way, another question is, I don't remember this, I don't remember if we ever talked about this, but do you think of yourself or have you in the past had like struggled with like anxiety in other areas of your life or not so much?
My anxiety has definitely been like quite prominent in my life, and it's I think what's even triggered the sleep issues from the very beginning, you know, my intrusive thoughts and my obsessive thoughts. So yeah, anxiety has definitely been a part of my life for a long time. Yeah.
And then, you know, the natural follow-up question becomes like, you know, often going through the struggle with sleep can help in that area too. Like, did you experience that?
Yeah. So can you repeat that, please?
Oh, yeah. Oftentimes, like, you know, when we learn from the struggle with the insomnia, that can often help in other areas, like, you know, anxiety. Like, did you experience that as well?
Yes, 100%. I remember telling you in the previous episode that it was like a pivotal point in my life. Like, my insomnia opened up so many doors for me and unlocked so many thoughts. And it definitely helped me look at my life differently, you know, that non-resistance is actually key, not only to sleep, but to everything in life. And that, you know, the harder you try to get some things, the less able you are. You know, it's just really, even just let go of perceived control, you know, in other aspects. Like, if there's something I can't control, why would I obsess over it, you know? And so definitely, like, I've been able to apply what I've been taught through sleep into so many different aspects in my life. And it's kind of how I live right now. All of that derived from the teachings from sleep. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And now to sort of shift gears slightly here, for anyone who doesn't know, Betul has a chapter in Tales of Courage. It's actually chapter 13. And by the way, have you read your own chapter?
Yes. When you told me, I remember you messaged me telling me you're in this book, and I was just like, oh my God, I need to see it. And so yeah, I've read my chapter. I've read other people's chapters. It's just an amazing book. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. How did it feel reading like the your own chapter?
I felt a bit like touched, and especially because I don't kind of identify with that girl anymore in terms of her like problems. I just felt like there was so much desperation and so much, you know, wanting like help and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I just felt really bad for her. But I was also in a place where I was kind of proud and that I've overcome this huge battle. So it was kind of like a bittersweet moment. But yeah, it was very, very well captured. And, you know, how you just made those stories sound so human, you know, like unedited versions of people's lives. And yeah, not really sugarcoating anything, just saying how it is. It was, yeah, really, really touching to read that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And somebody else, her name is Anastasia. She messaged me on Instagram and said a very, very similar thing. She said, like, I was reading my own chapter and I was like, I don't even recognize myself. Like, I'm a different person from them, which is what this is all about, by the way. But anyways, as you know, like, I start every chapter with a little quote from everyone's, you know, story. Mm-hmm. And we're, like, the thing you said when I talked to you that time, I think you said this in passing, but for me, it was really stood out. And it was like, really, like, wow, that was really interesting. So I thought we could read this quote, a very brief one, and then talk about it. And you said, when you're suffering from insomnia, one night of bad sleep is one night too much.
Yeah.
And the reason to me, it really struck me was like, it's in a way so counterintuitive, because in one way you would think that somebody who's like struggled with insomnia and has a bad night, that it should be for them just like, oh yeah, I've done this so many times, it doesn't bother me. And for somebody who hasn't struggled with insomnia, it should be like, oh, what happened? But in reality, it's like the opposite. And the opposite. So it's kind of really, it's really interesting. And so I have some thoughts about it, but when you hear me say this, like, what do you think about this quote and what it means and et cetera?
Yeah, I totally agree. It does really sound like counterintuitive, but it's like, it's the same with pain. You know, if you experience chronic pain, I don't think you ever get used to something uncomfortable or that causes you that much discomfort. And every day is like a new battle, you know, let me get up, let me get on with my day, you know, face this huge struggle in my life. I don't think you can ever get used to something that causes you so much agony and discomfort. And for me, you know, waking up day after day, knowing that now I have to face my day again with the same issues, with the same, you know, cloudy head, because usually I had a really like blurry, even my vision was really blurry and my head was just clouded. So just knowing that I would have to experience that day after day was so tiring to me and exhausting. So it's nothing you ever get used to, really. Yeah. And you don't want to get used to that lifestyle either, for that matter. Yeah.
You know, when you said the word pain, like, I immediately thought, yeah, that makes so much sense, because like we know about like, you know, when we have like chronic pain situations, it's like you actually become sensitized to pain, right? Yeah. Instead of like somebody who has had struggled with pain for a long time, a little pain actually creates more of a response in that person than somebody who's never struggled with. It's a great analogy. And and to me, you know, my mind went into the direction of like, the difference is one is kind of control and one is like the story, I thought, like, meaning, for somebody who has like like your husband said randomly, like one night he didn't sleep well, maybe it was some obvious reason, maybe not, but for him, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is, I have no control over this. Like it's another evidence that I have no control. That doesn't happen. And also that the story of like, oh, this another bad night, this means, yeah, something is wrong with me. This means I'll never get over this. This means that narrative also, I think, really makes one bad night much worse for somebody who has insomnia than somebody doesn't, right?
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, when my husband had that night, like not so good night, the next morning he was like, oh, I didn't have a good night, but I'm so excited for a busy day at work. You know, he had a really positive and like optimistic outlook on the day still. So I think that really helped him. And I think another thing that really, really helped me to kind of get over this struggle was, you know, every single person on this earth can sleep almost. Like, I mean, it's something that comes so naturally. So why would you be an exception? You know, why would you be chosen and not to sleep? It's intense. So that's something that really helped me. If anyone or everyone in my family, in my, you know, my husband's family can sleep and all my friends can sleep, surely I can as well, you know? And so with that belief system, I kind of just let go of the resistance, because everyone can do it. Like, why would I not be able to do it? And it's something that comes so naturally and so like effortlessly to people. So why is it missing from me? You know, so I think that belief system and that thought really, really stuck with me and helped me through the struggle as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nicely put. And now, sort of shifting gears again a little bit, another thing I really want to ask you was this, that I know when we spoke last time, you describe yourself as a spiritual person. You seem like this, like leaving the struggle is a spiritual journey. Now, did that, after we spoke last time, you know, did you sort of like continue on, like, we're all on a spiritual journey, like in some respect, right? But it can also mean like we sort of further our reading about that. We sort of pursue that, the kind of like spiritual teachings, etc. Like after we spoke last time, would you say that you've sort of pursued that spiritual journey further, or more or less maybe put it on the backside and then other things in your life? But what happened to that aspect?
I think spirituality to me is like kind of a part of my identity. So I don't think I could ever like just put it on, you know, in the back burner and not like pick it up and leave it whenever I want to. It's just like really, really a part of my personality. So that, I think that even increased as I, you know, went. And the more you learn about like non-resistance and about accepting things for what they are in this given moment, the more kind of I just really, it really strengthened my already existing beliefs, you know, spirituality wise. So it's definitely increased. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very glad to hear this. And I think the community will be curious to know what you're actually a PhD student, you know, focusing on sleep. So maybe you want to share a few words on kind of what you're doing in that area.
Yeah, so it was breaking a little bit, but you asked me about my studies or?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So I am basically studying sleep. I'm doing my PhD and it's focused on, you know, different sleep variables, in particular sleep paralysis. That's, you know, my main focus. And we're just kind of investigating how sleep variables can be affected by certain belief systems, you know, and we're trying to bring, you know, some people, for instance, believe that their sleep paralysis is caused by something, you know, scientifically unexplainable, like a ghost or a djinn or, you know, you name it. So, and that itself can cause people to experience more anxiety than they already are. So what we're trying to do is to kind of bring the scientific information and offer them that, to hopefully reduce episodes and just help people out with their sleep problems in general. So that's kind of my PhD. And I thought that it would be really good, like mix, you know, the sleep coaching and my PhD thing as well.
Yeah. No, that's exactly in addition to like, you have the story, you have all the insight, you have all this, which is going to make, you know, you're going to bring so much value to our school and our teachings. And in addition to that, you also have this like scientific background. We have never had any coach who also had like a PhD in sleep, et cetera. So that is going to be super, super valuable. So yeah, I'm just, again, super, super glad to welcome you into becoming a sleep coach. And thanks so much for coming on today and sharing sharing your story about like life after insomnia and how the struggle fully can end and can even be enriching. So I want to thank you for coming on, Bitul.
Thank you so much, Anna, for having me, and thank you for inviting me to be part of your amazing team. I'm really, really excited.
Super excited as well. And for the community here to know, like you'll be back shortly doing open classes and talking some episodes in the future. So look forward to having you back soon again.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Bye for now.